Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Happy Monday, folks. A warm welcome to Tapes Up, our weekly spotlight on Scottish Speedway, bringing you the news, views and interviews from the HQs of each of Glasgow Tigers, Edinburgh Monarchs and Berwick Bandits. I'm Derek Smith, glad to be back behind the mic this Monday evening and keen to talk Scottish Speedway. Thanks again to Graham and to Dave Harley for keeping the wheels turning last week. Well, joining me here in the studio tonight is a man steeped in Speedway history. He does as many motorway miles these days as the riders, chasing down stories and the odd photo too. Welcome to Tapes Up, Phil Lanning.
Good evening, good to see you.
Good to see you on a Monday night, Phil. Normally a Friday night you and I exchange some Speedway chat.
Indeed.
Phil, a familiar face to many around the UK Speedway scene. Whilst we chat Speedway tonight, we'll dip into your connections to the sport and your thoughts, I guess, on its current state as well. Let's, in fact, start some of that chat just now, Phil. For those who may not be too aware, please explain how you became interested in Speedway and your current day involvement.
Well, I became interested because of my father. He was the person who put Speedway on television in the early 70s, and my first Speedway meeting was when I was 6 weeks old at Wembley. I was born in July 1970, and literally from that moment on, Speedway's been in my blood, and all of the family have been involved at some stage or other, and now my eldest son is as well. So it's curious. It's how it's gone on. It's been a sort of 48 years constantly in it, and now I've been at the Sun for 25 years, and I've come away from the Sun full time to be freelance, and now I'm involved in Speedway GB Media, and I am the PR man for two Grand Prix riders, and obviously just a huge involvement right across the board.
Your dad, of course, who you mentioned, the late great Dave Lanning, the voice of Speedway, as many people label him, and legitimately so. And I'm thinking back to those great days when Speedway was aired on World of Sport on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, yeah, I mean that was Speedway's halcyon days, you'd like to think, and World of Sport had something like 13 million viewers on a Saturday, and some of the meetings went to 15,000, 100,000 at Wembley, 1981 World Final. So they were good days, but Speedway still, people go on about the fact that Speedway the olden days and stuff like that. I still think Speedway is just as good now as it ever was, if not better.
I wouldn't disagree. We'll talk more about that a little later, Phil. Well, let's take a look at what we can look forward to on tonight's show. First off, we'll look back to a double bill of league action on Friday night as Edinburgh raced Formside Leicester and Glasgow welcomed far-travelled Eastbourne to Ashfield. Then on Saturday night, Glasgow made the overnight return journey to Sussex, whilst Berwick got back into race action with the visit from Sheffield. We will preview the week ahead as Edinburgh travel to Birmingham on Wednesday, Berwick go to Eastbourne, and Glasgow face Scunthorpe. And there's also a certain Championship Shield derby clash at Armadale next Friday, Phil, which we'll pick over a little bit later. To help us, amongst others, to go through all of that content tonight, we'll hear from Aaron Summers, Craig Cook, Cammy Brown and Gary Flint. Speedway helped me with my UK geography back in my school days, Phil. And as I mentioned already, you do a lot of travelling around the UK Speedway scene. Do you sense a particular vibrancy within the Scottish scene at the moment?
Well, I do, but that's been the case for a long time. I think that the great thing is that the rivalry and between Glasgow and Edinburgh particularly is something that is sort of motivates the whole sport north of the border. And people complain about the terminology of it, and I've regarded it as the old firm of Speedway, and I know I get a lot of stick for that from the Edinburgh quarters, but that's not for the purpose of people within the sport, but to explain how that works to people outside of the sport, I think that's the best analogy you can use, because of how it can be bitter, and that's. But I don't think it's a bad thing; it's a great thing. And the two managements are hell bent on winning. There's a passion right the way through, from the mechanics to the track rakers to the guys who sell the burgers and the vans or whatever. Everybody wants to beat the other, and that is...
And the supporters demand it, don't they?
And it is, and funny enough, the only people who aren't really touched by it are the riders. And it's just as well, probably, but no, I think it's it's fantastic. The sport north of the border is probably more vibrant than anywhere else in the UK.
And long may it continue. OK, Phil, let's get amongst the points, the talking points, that is. Clutch in, throttle on, tapes up. First stop, then, to Armadale Stadium, where on Friday night, Edinburgh welcomed, perhaps a little reluctantly, the high-flying Leicester Lions on league duty. Phil, the Monarchs had romped a massive home win the week before over Scunthorpe, but they knew that Leicester would be a much tougher proposition, didn't they?
They did, and actually, I thought the scoreline flattered Leicester a little bit. Edinburgh, I think, are a very, very strong side at home. I think Leicester got a 5-1 in the last race to make it look a bit more tighter than it actually was. I don't think it was quite squeaky bum as maybe it suggests. But I think Edinburgh will be quite relieved to come away with that, especially so early in the season.
I agree with you. And the final score, Edinburgh 45, Leicester 44. Couldn't get much closer. No. A little stat overview of Friday night. Edinburgh 6, heat wins to Leicester's 9. Heat advantages, Edinburgh 6, Leicester 6. Very tight, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. Picking out some scorers from Friday. Top of the scoring tree for the Monarchs, Josh Pickering with 9 points. Cameron Heaps also on 9. And a welcome return to scoring form, I believe, for Justin Sedgman. Mm-hmm. 8 points from 4 rides, Phil.
Yeah, and I think the most apparent thing about that is there's a lot to read into those stats because Edinburgh was solid right the way through. I think they all sort of 9 plus 1, sort of 7, 6, 5, whereas Leicester were like the two main hitters,
yes,
of Scott and Richie, obviously Armadale experts. But I still think Edinburgh will be very relieved to have got that one out the way because I think Edinburgh are going to be good at home, but that was probably their biggest test.
I think, you know, week by week on Tapes Up, you know, I've been thumping the drum a little bit, suggesting that Edinburgh hadn't quite got into their stride, mm-hmm, particularly at home this season. But results over the last couple of weeks, particularly on Friday night against Leicester, suggest that they've turned that corner.
I would agree with that. And I think the key man for them is Justin Sedgman. And he's been getting a lot of stick on social media, which is a lot of unfair stick. He's a class act. And he's starting to get into his stride now. And I think if Sedgman and Joel Anderson come into their stride, Edinburgh are going to be very, very solid home and away.
So a 1-point win for the Monarchs on Friday night. Clearly an exciting night for the Monarchs faithful to enjoy. But as Josh Pickering reflected with our Graham Munsey, 1 point or not, a win is a win.
Very, very strong side. Like, Leicester's got an unbelievable team. They're strong from 1-7. And to be honest with you, mate, tonight we showed up. There was a couple of races that could have went either way. And you know, I had a bit of a stuff up in my second ride. You know, Scott got over me, and that was the end of it. I couldn't do anything and protected Joel for a few laps, so that was okay. But I still had two good wins, and I had a good race with Richie. So there's plenty of positives to come out of the night.
Okay, so there was a solid team performance out down the line. You know, 2 race wins for Ricky. I think it was 8 points for Justin, 9 points for yourself, 9 points for Cameron. You know, that's a good solid score, and it means, you know, it shows the team's not reliant on any one individual.
No, that's exactly right, mate. We are built 1-7. You cannot win a league with 3 riders. So you need to be strong without. You've got to have strong reserves, and we've got to have all our boys turn up in the night.
And then obviously you mentioned your race with Richard there. You and him are best of mates off the track. Had a great partnership last year. You were desperate to get one over, and it just wasn't quite to be.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. He's unbelievable around here. He's the problem is when we ride as a team, we know exactly how we ride, and I think that it's having trust in each other. So if he was to pass me, he knows I'm not going to clean him up after, or, you know, and I know he would have left me the racing room, but it wasn't enough. But all in all, on the night, like, I'm happy, everything's happy, gating's been good, so there's a positive to take out.
I think it's true that people maybe from the outside will look in and say it's another narrow win for the Monarchs, but we're not going to face many teams like Leicester here this year.
No, definitely not, mate. They are, like I said before, they're built 1-7. They've got 3 track specialists around here, you can say like that. Richie, Scotty and Batesy on his day, he turns up. It was a bit unfortunate for me, he didn't have a night to think about, but all in all, like I said, it's been a good night. The crowd, you know, complained that we smashed them last week, so they didn't really complain about that now.
And then a big week ahead, obviously away to Birmingham and then home to Glasgow.
Yeah, so it's going to be another good week. I haven't rode at Birmingham yet, which I'm interested to go to, but Glasgow here as well, they are going to be tough. I don't think they'll push us quite as much as this, but, you know, time will tell, and we're just going to turn up what we did today.
Josh Pickering there, Phil, and he's a regular guest here on Tapes Up, only too happy to talk to us about his form and the Monarchs' form, and a very likeable young man, but very serious about his speedway business.
I like Josh Pickering a lot, and I think he's got a racing brain. He's an intelligent boy. He's very excited. I think he's probably one of the most exciting riders in the championship. I can see him going all the way in the sport, and I think Edinburgh are very lucky to have him. And I can only see him getting better and better as time goes on.
Just to pick out another couple of significant scorers, I guess, on Friday night. As you mentioned already, Phil, Scott Nicholls and Richie Worrall combining for 28 of Leicester's points. On the receiving end, are not quite doing so well, given their own capabilities on Friday night. Ricky Wells, only 7 points from 5 rides, a poorer night for Ricky. And I dare say Stuart Dixon will look to the performances from Josh Bates and Connor Mountain, only 1 point between both men on Friday.
Yeah, curiously, if you'd said to Stuart Dixon before the meeting that Richie and Scott were going to get 28 points, he would have said, we're going to win here. And ironically, Edinburgh would have said, if Ricky's only getting 7, we were in deep trouble. And so I think Edinburgh will be happy with that because it will show their strength and depth.
So back-to-back home wins in the league for the Monarchs and another away point picked up by the Lions. A little later, we'll look at another interesting week ahead for Edinburgh and an opportunity, perhaps, to really ignite their league season. Also on Friday night, this time in the West, Glasgow opened their league season with the visit to Ashfield Stadium of far-travelled Eastbourne Eagles. Some familiar faces in the visiting side and some familiar, if not regular, faces in the home side too, as former Tigers Aaron Summers and Ben Barker provided cover for Danish duo Claus Fissing and Rasmus Jensen, who were both competing in their national championship semi-finals. Could Glasgow maintain their bright start to the season and take the win? Phil, you have a bit of a soft spot, if I could suggest it, for the Eagles. You cut your teeth, your speedway teeth, around Arlington as a boy. And was it a mixed, any sense of mixed loyalties for you on Friday night?
Absolutely. I mean, Eastbourne are very much my team when I was younger. My father and my brother were promoters there, and I grew up at Eastbourne with the Dugard family. And Martin Dugard was up on Friday. So, no, the Eastbourne are very, very close to my heart. It was nice to see them. It's good to see them in the second tier. They're probably one of the most strongest sides there's ever been in the second tier of British Speedway. I actually thought they were a little bit disappointing, actually. I thought they were going to push Glasgow a bit harder.
They seemed to plug away on Friday. The final score in the end was Glasgow 56, Eastbourne 33. Let's look at some of the stats. Heat wins for Glasgow 11 to Eastbourne's 4 only. Last places, Glasgow only picked up 3 last places on Friday night, which tells a story. And in heat advantages, Glasgow thumped the Eagles by 9-1. Looking at the scorers for Eastbourne, and we talked about some familiar faces, Richard Lawson and Lewis Kerr, both former Tigers, of course, 10 and 9 points respectively. Eddie Kenn at 7, and young Tom Brennan, who we'll talk a little bit more about later in the show, picked up 6 for the Eagles. In the home camp, another 15-point maximum for skipper Craig Cook. Aaron Summers guesting for the Tigers, 13. Ben Barker guesting at 9 points. Kyle Bickley, once again, another 8-point haul for the Tigers, Phil.
Well, I think Kyle Bickley's been a success story of the season so far, and I think there's a lot more to come from him. He's actually riding very steady, and actually, in his opening two of his opening 3 rides, I think he was on 5-1s in 2 of them, which the opponent's heat leaders got past him, Eddie Kennett,
yes,
and Richard Lawson. So he could have actually had double figures. And I think as he becomes more confident and more a little bit more adventurous on the track, he will he's going to be really potent down there.
He told me in a recent interview there's more to come from him.
Oh, there is.
And I don't think that's just the confidence of a young man. I think that's self-belief as well in Kyle. You mentioned there about the Eagles perhaps flattering to deceive a little bit on Friday night. You know, there was lots of plaudits at the end of the meeting by supporters who were there about the quality of the racing, some good action, etc., some close quarters, and not a lot given in some races. Mm-hmm. I remember particularly Craig Cook's pass on Richard Lawson, mm-hmm. which, my goodness, was a millimetre precision pass by Cookie. Mm-hmm. Was it a terrific display by the home side, or a not-so-impressive display by the visitors? A question I put later to Tigers team manager Cammy Brown.
I think it was a bit more down to our riders being on the top of the form, to be honest. Craig Imperius, just fantastic. I think we should stop mentioning the fact he's not lost at home, and just let him go on with it. We don't want to put any more pressure on him. The rest of the boys, Aaron Summers, Ben Barker, fantastic guests for us. And I've got to special mention for Connor Coles, who I thought was much more worth much more than the points he scored. And the boy puts loads of effort in, nice lad to work with. James came to the party at the end with a really good win as well when we needed him. Paul had a new engine tonight and was bedding it in and stuff, so I think there's more to come from him as well. And I just was so chuffed with the whole performance of the team today.
Missing the Danes, of course, Klaus and Rasmus, and it could have been so much more harder tonight.
It could have been, but as I say, the aptitude we had, from the very off on the track walk, we had a chat and I told the boys, look, there's three guys in their team that can gate. We all know who they are. We need to be so much faster than normal out the gate. We can't just relax on the track and pass people. And I think that showed tonight. Kyle Bickley's gating was fantastic. The boys really took to it tomorrow. Long trip. Not looking forward to the trip tomorrow, but really hard place to go. But we're going to go with full of confidence. I've said before in interviews this season, there's nowhere we go that we don't want to win. And then we'll never be that way. Glasgow Speedway, from the day the Fezenas took over, will never go away from home expecting to lose. So we're going to go and give it 101%, see what we can come up with. If we can get a point, great. If we can get 3 points.
A buoyant Cammy Brown there on Friday night, Phil, and quite rightly too. A couple of riders he picked out, and we'll come back and talk about them much more later, Paul Stark and Conor Coles. I did mention another full house for Tiger skipper Craig Cook, which came on the back of what's been a huge week for the rider. I asked him to reflect, starting with his Speedway of Nations efforts for Great Britain.
Yeah, it was okay, just lacking a little bit of speed there. Just struggling a little bit for that extra drive and that extra bit of traction. Riding the bike exceptionally well. I feel like I'm very, very comfortable on the bike. But at that level, it's marginal gain. So we rode a different engine tonight. I've never ridden it ever before. So it's actually one of Kyle's engines that he didn't like. So he'll be probably trying to get it back off me now. So, he went pretty well. So I'm more than happy with that.
And a super performance by you and the team the following day at Sheffield, which puts us in a very strong position, hopefully, to meet Redcar in the quarterfinals.
Obviously Sheffield are no mugs and they could come here and turn us over, so best not to be complacent. We've done a fantastic job at Sheffield, and we just need to, it's not a job done yet. There's still 15 heats to go, and this track is a very fair track and produces some very good racing, so they have a team full of intelligent racers, so yeah, it's by far from done yet, so we just need to keep our heads together and focus on the job in hand.
And when the adrenaline drops tonight, pack the bags, pack up the van, and head to Sussex. It's a glamorous life, isn't it?
Wash the bikes first and all the kit, so got to turn up spick and span like we always would. So, get the bikes done, get in the van, and drive all the way down tonight. So at least we'll have the day to ourselves tomorrow, and hopefully it'll be nice and sunny down south, and maybe get a tan.
And final question, attention turns to a certain trip to Armadale next Friday night, a place that you know and love very well, of course. Mission, of course, an away win for the Tigers.
Place I loved. I don't know if I love it anymore. We'll soon see. We'll soon see next Friday. So. It's a very tricky track to ride, and a track that you have to ride on a regular basis to be very comfortable there. But I've done 5 years there, so I should know my way around. But we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to going, and Tigers should hopefully put on a decent show and come away with a few points.
An uber confident, if not cautious, slightly cautious, Craig Cook talking on Friday night. So another solid team performance then, guests and all for Glasgow on Friday, to get themselves off to a solid start in the season's playoff chase. A very long overnight trek ahead, as both sides would reconvene in Sussex the following night. We'll drop in and see how that meeting went shortly. On to Saturday night then, or also on Saturday night, so a track return for Berwick, with the Bandits facing up to a sturdy-looking and in many quarters hotly-tipped Sheffield Tigers side. Berwick's home form this season has been impressive, a theme they would be looking to maintain, although in Sheffield they would anticipate a strong challenge. What was the destiny of the league points on offer? Well, let's tell you now. Final score from Shieldfield Park on Saturday was another very tight one, Phil. Berwick 46, Sheffield 44.
Again, probably the most fascinating thing about the championship is how close it's been this year. And there's a lot of these sort of 2-point, 1-point wins. And that was a particularly good performance from Sheffield, I feel, because they lost two riders early on in the meeting. and they sort of really rearguard action to force the last heat decider.
It seemed to be a bit of a bruising encounter at Shieldfield on Saturday. Four riders, I think, succumbed to some bruising, and I use that term to cover all effects on Saturday night. So in the home camp, in Courtney Garcia and Jai Etheridge, who'd only made a track return on Saturday, were feeling a bit second-hand by the end. And two of Sheffield riders, Zane Kennedy and Ty Proctor, were forced to withdraw after the first rides on Saturday.
Yes, so, and that affected, as the meeting unfolded, it affected Sheffield immediately because they lost Zane and Ty before the halfway mark. And but they had an old dog in their pit area in Stuart Dixon, who had to deputise for them from his normal place at Leicester. And he sort of kept them in the meeting and with a sensible tactical sub rides and using a Brock Nicol reserve got paid 14 and he kept them in the meeting.
So a bruising encounter indeed, and a hard fought narrow home win and three league points banked for the home side. Our Gary Tate caught up with Bandits team manager Gary Flint to get his thoughts.
Well, it's an odd one. Obviously any win's good by it doesn't matter how many points really, but you know, we're looking to make Berwick Fortress, and you know, Jai's incident kind of knocked him back a bit again, and Cody certainly wasn't right from his crash yet at the last meeting. So, all in all, good to get a win with a few battered bandits, but still looking to do a bit better.
And in terms of turning our attention to tomorrow, obviously we'll look to go down there and certainly give a good account of ourselves. What's your minimum expectation from tomorrow?
Well, a point, minimum. There's a point everywhere, and you know, we'll go back there to look to steal the point that they got yesterday, if not more. You know, we're certainly capable. You know, it's great having Aaron back as a number one that we signed for last year, and this guy, and obviously Bosk was great tonight, and he'll be looking to carry on that game. So we're going to go everywhere looking for a point, and that is minimum expectation tomorrow.
And turning to Arne, he seems to be in very good form at the moment.
He does. You know, he had a great guest booking for Glasgow last night, and he's been going great guns in the whatever league it's called, the box. So yeah, it's great, and you know, that's the Aaron that we signed last year, and you know, we stuck with him, showed him that faith in him, and he wanted to come back to us to prove that's the rider that he is. So you know, it's great for us, it's great for him.
For the visitors, Danny King, Brock Nicol and Drew Kemp, with 12 and 11 points respectively, top scored for the Tigers. Top of the tree for the Bandits though, and hitting a purple patch of form, is club number one Aaron Summers. Afterwards, Gary spoke to him and asked him to reflect on what had been another tough night.
Yeah, it was close in the end. Obviously, a couple of boys come back from injury and tried a couple of tumbles, and you know, Cody obviously not feeling 100% yet. Kind of struggled a little bit, and you know, Leon's obviously still learning, and they have got a pretty good side, so it was tough. But that's what us bigger boys are there for—to you know, rack the points up and keep that score where we need it.
And talking about racking up big scores, you guested for Glasgow last night and scored paid 15, and tonight paid 14. You must be really pleased with your own form.
Yeah, definitely. It's been kind of a little hit and miss, not too much, but you know, we've had a couple of engine failures and things like that in the past that have suffered us, but we're getting there and working hard, and it's paying off, you know, it's going really well, so yeah.
Good, and down to Sheffield tomorrow, is it a track you enjoy riding, Ullerton?
Yeah, you know, I've had good and bad meetings there. It's pretty crucial on a setup there, and I don't know what it's been like there this year, I haven't seen anything, but we've got a team of racers, so it should suit us, and obviously they're a little bit depleted tomorrow with Zane Kennedy out, and not sure how Proctor will pull up, you know, after his crash as well, so that could be a bit of a bonus for us and show that we can turn it around tomorrow and get what we need there.
The positivity and the positive results continue for the Bandits. Sheffield and Berwick, perennially, Phil, seem to have some real ding-dong battles home and away.
They do, and it's you'd certainly want to make sure you put that in their diary every year, because they, and I would have, you know, I would have really pushed Berwick to beat them last night, but Sheffield really pushed them as well, and it was an interesting meeting.
So an every night for the home fans, and Bandits bank another 3 league points. We send our best wishes to those bruised and battered riders in both camps. You're listening to Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, broadcasting on DAB Digital. After the break, we'll catch up on Glasgow's return trip to Eastbourne, preview all the week's action, and hear from Stuart Dixon. Stay tuned.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
This is Tapes Up, talking Speedway here on Rock Sport Radio. Let's now round off the weekend action as Glasgow made the very long trip to Sussex to face Eastbourne Eagles around the tight little Arlington Raceway on Saturday night. A circuit you know very well, Phil, as we mentioned earlier, one that you cut your Speedway teeth on, and one which has served the Eagles very well with home advantage over the decades.
Well, yeah, I think Eastbourne have built every single one of their titles on that track, and it's always been a very difficult place to go. And it's sort of always almost a yardstick of where you're at. If you can get a result or get close to Eastbourne, you know you're a decent side.
Absolutely. And Glasgow would travel down to Sussex on Saturday night. Klaus Wissing and Rasmus Jensen made a track return for the Tigers. They flew back in from Denmark. Their Danish qualifier round, incidentally, was washed out on Saturday night, or Friday night, I should say. And I think that's rescheduled for this coming Thursday. And Conor Coles, who had made an impressive guest appearance at reserve for Glasgow, retained the number 6 race jacket. Phil, the score in the end, and I'm delighted to say this, and I'm almost blinking as I read it out aloud, Eastbourne 44, Glasgow 45. The first ever victory for a Glasgow side at Arlington.
Yeah, and I think down the years, Glasgow or sides based from Glasgow have taken a right good hammering down there. So that's a big result. And I think it also follows Leicester's narrow win there the previous week. And I think that's psychologically it's a big result.
Definitely. And you've got to feel for the home side because, you know, in any circumstance, to lose by 1 point in successive weeks at home is a tough one to take. On Saturday night, young Tom Brennan, who impressed greatly for the Eagles this season, a bright light at under-21 level, sadly taken off to hospital with a nasty leg break.
Yeah, and it's broken in 3 places. He's out for the season. It's particularly tough for my family. We go back, he's the stepson of Martin Dugard, who we go back with a long time, and Tom's in this breed of youngsters coming through, and he's very close to my son as well, and it's a real blow for them. I mean, it's a massive blow for Eastbourne.
Tom Brennan, I mean, just to amplify, on Saturday night, Tom Brennan had 11 points under his belt on Saturday until his crash in his heat 14. Was it heat 14 or thereabouts?
Yeah, he still finished top scorer.
Let's just let's cover off some of the scoring and some of the stats on Saturday. Heat wins, Eastbourne 8 to Glasgow 7. Heat advantages, Eastbourne 6, Glasgow 5. The home side served well, as you mentioned, Phil, by Tom Brennan on 11 points. Eddie Kennett and Lewis Kerr also finished on 11 points. A quieter night, perhaps, for former Tigers number 1, Richard Lawson, just 7 points.
Yeah, I think Richard he ran a last in Heat 13, which was the last nail in the coffin for Eastbourne, that result. But no, nonetheless, they've all got to be beaten, haven't they?
Craig Cook, top scorer for the Tigers with 11 points. I think he had a disqualification in his last ride, which lessened his points haul. Paul Stark, now, many times on Tapes Up, last season included, we talk about Paul Stark as being a potential, not only a match winner, a potential silverware winner for Tigers this year. He struggled a little bit with, we've heard him talk about machinery and different things, Phil. His first ever visit to Arlington, I gather, on Saturday night, 9 points.
Again, Paul Stark, if Paul Stark rides well away from home for Glasgow get a result. Or if not, certainly one of James, Paul or Kyle have got to ride well for Glasgow to get a result. And if you look at the results at Sheffield or Newcastle or Eastbourne, one of them has always stepped up to the plate.
Rasmus Jensen and Klaus Wissing flew back into the UK, 8 points and 6 points respectively. Star of performer for my liking for the Tigers, though, on Saturday night, young Conor Coles, obviously looking to make a big impression, and that he did, 6 points for the Tigers.
Well, if that contract isn't signed, then I don't know what he can do more to warrant a place. He showed an awful... I think Cammy referred to it in his interview earlier on as well. I think Conor deserved a lot more from Friday night as well. He only got 1 point, I think, but he looked like he got five or six.
His effort was sensational on Friday night. Listen, we've got to move on. Lots of stuff to cover, Phil. We can't dwell too much as I would like. Eastbourne then suffered a second successive one-point home defeat for Glasgow. What a weekend. A home and away double over the Eagles and on a track that not many sides will win at this season. A very bright start indeed for the Red and White Brigade. And Mike Glasgow just have found their permanent replacement for Luke Chessel in the clearly talented shape of Connor Coles. Let's see what develops. My studio guest tonight, as a reminder, is Phil Lanning. Phil, you have some involvement these days within the media side of Speedway GB. And you'll be all too aware, of course, of some of the sport's imperfections and some of its greatest challenges. And, you know, no one's shirking from the fact that there are some. Mm-hmm. But as you look around the scene in the UK, and you do travel around and talk to lots of people and see lots of things, where do you personally feel the sport currently sits? And where do you feel it's capable of getting to?
I think Speedway has this sort of nature of being negative about itself. I think that needs to be eliminated because every sport has its imperfections. I mean, because if you have any competition in any sport, someone's always unhappy at the end of it for one reason or another. Ultimately, the core product of Speedway is still the best motorsport in the world on its day. You can sit and watch it and see everything. If you go to Formula One or rallying, you see a blur go past you, where Speedway is there. It's a family sport. I think, genuinely, the racing is pretty decent this year. I think it has been at Glasgow. It's been outstanding so far.
It's the best it's ever been.
I can't remember Glasgow being any better. And I just don't like the negativity. I don't think it's necessary. I think crowds have gone up substantially this year. The racing's been excellent. We've got a very good television deal with BT Sport, which the racing's been good. And the Grand Prix started on television on Saturday night, which was excellent. I honestly think the sport's going in the right direction.
I don't disagree with you, Phil. And you know that we believe in the core product, as you've mentioned, mm-hmm. and it's there's few better family suited sporting spectacles out there. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be transformed overnight. We all know and accept mm-hmm. that. But accentuating its positives mm-hmm. and thumping the positivity drum mm-hmm. has got to be the way forward.
We have an excellent situation, and we've got a lot of young British riders. We've got a three times British world champion. It doesn't get much better than that, and I think Speedway sort of, instead of just being negative, it should be accentuate on the positive. And if Speedway did that, then the whole outlook would be much better.
Phil, let's now look ahead to the Speedway action this coming week. Edinburgh will hope to become the latest side to score an away win at New Boys Birmingham on Wednesday night. Berwick's trip to the Brummies was washed out last week. However, we did note that the Birmingham have made a couple of transfer moves, bringing in GB international Adam Ellis at the top end, with Nathan Stoneman supplementing at reserve. What's your views, Phil? Do you think that gives the Brummies a better shape all round?
Absolutely, and I think it's the world's worst time for Edinburgh to go there. It's a bit like in football when someone replaces their manager. Edinburgh going there at just the wrong time. They should get a bounce from that Birmingham. And that's going to be a big result because actually all the pressure, I think, is probably on Edinburgh to get a result because everyone else has so far.
Although I guess it's fair to say Adam Ellis, Nathan Stoneman in particular, haven't mm-hmm. had any practice around the Perrybar circuit since they've signed up. I'm sure both of them have ridden mm-hmm. the circuit. And, of course, the team didn't get to have any action this past week. Mm-hmm. Edinburgh will travel there, of course, buoyed by that result against Leicester on Friday.
I would like to think Edinburgh will get a result there. I think, their strength in depth might just sort of see them through. But narrowly, I think, again, it's another 2.4-point swing either way.
Phil, we'll do some score predictions before the end of the show. But an away win for the Monarchs could really help point them in a more self-confident direction this season. We'll bring you news of what happens in next week's show. Well, whatever does happen on Wednesday night, Monarchs will already have one eye on the very first visit to Armadale this season of their nearest and dearest rivals, Glasgow Tigers. Friday night will see the restaging of the previously washed out Championship Shields tie. With Monarchs already out of contention, they can still help determine the fate of their Scottish rivals, who must chase an away win. Phil, that washout a couple of weeks back, who would you suggest a couple of weeks on it did most favour to, Edinburgh or Glasgow?
Cool, crikey, that's a good question. I couldn't tell you, and this is what, again, is so fascinating about Speedway and certainly north of the border. I couldn't guess a result right now. And I certainly think the timing has added a huge dose of spice to the brew. And I think it's now, this is the world's worst place for Glasgow to go to have to pick up this result they need, and Glasgow will be rubbing their hands. Edinburgh will be rubbing their hands, thinking we can really, we can stick the boot in here.
I'm sure that's going to be the number one objective for the Monarchs on Friday. I mean, I sense the Monarchs have turned that corner. Mm-hmm. Thumps Scunthorpe. They've taken care of Leicester on Friday night. Mm-hmm. I could see some of the riders within the team who had been struggling a little bit mm-hmm. now seem to be coming to their game. But also, I would caveat that and say that Glasgow have been performing really well. I mean, a wee draw at Sheffield last Sunday mm-hmm. and a wee win at Eastbourne on Saturday night suggests that the Tigers are full of confidence.
I wouldn't put my mortgage on either of them, to be quite honest. And isn't it fabulous that we've got this situation? We can sit here. We've got an FA Cup final in football yesterday where Man City won 6-0 and sort of didn't raise an eyebrow.
It's a non-contest.
And here we
it?
Go. We go to Friday at Armadale and you really can't predict what's going to happen. And two sides are going to go hammer and tong at each other. That is what Speedway is all about. And it's great rivalry, one, but this is brilliant. This is as good as it gets.
The supporters can only be the winners on Friday night, mm-hmm. Phil.
Absolutely.
Well, one man with his eye on what could be this Friday night is Glasgow's team manager, Cammy Brown. Let's hear how he's looking to assess on all fronts.
Well, I think a draw would get us through, to be honest, Derek. So, I mean, I'd happily bite your hand off for a 45 each draw. I saw the result they had tonight, and they won by 1 point. So they're starting to get some home form. We have to be aware of that. We've got riders that can ride Armadale. And, you know, that's one we're looking forward to. Very busy next week as well. After Eastbourne, we've got a home match the following day after Armadale. And then another home match the following Tuesday, the Tuesday. Matches in 5 days. And I think at the end of that, we can start looking at where we are. And see, you know, where we are in the cup, where we are, how we're doing in the league. But the old analogy, one match at a time, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow. Go down to Eastbourne and see what we can get.
And the league campaign underway now with a home win, the perfect start.
Well, we never lost at home last season. It's a proud record I've got as team manager. We don't want to lose at home this season. There'll be other challenges coming, harder teams coming, and we have to face them all. And that's when the Danish lads coming back in the team for home will help us with the home track advantage that they've got. So let's keep it going and see what happens.
A confident sounding Cammy Brown there. And why not, Phil, given recent Tigers results mm-hmm. away from home as well as at home? I said I must win earlier on, and it's not necessarily that. A draw, as Cammy confirmed, would be enough to see Tigers get through to the semi-finals. Easier said than done. When it's such a white-hot derby occasion. And Edinburgh, as you mentioned, will be all too happy to trip up Glasgow.
Of course Cammy's going to be talking up. I mean, and he rightly should be confident. However, I think Edinburgh's a really tall order for Glasgow. Again, it's the one place they wouldn't want to go. It's going to be absolutely crucial that Stark, Sargent and Carl Bickley win their own personal battles. They've got to outdo the Sedgman, Anderson and the reserves, and they've got to somehow do that. I think that might just be a bit of a tall order for them.
Well, it might be a step too far for Tigers. Time will tell. We'll come back and do mm-hmm. some score predictions just shortly, Phil. I think I said earlier on, you know, that supporters who are in attendance on Friday are guaranteed to be the mm-hmm. winners, I think. A very tasty-looking derby night to look forward to on Friday. Monarchs and Tigers fans, how do you see it going? Drop us a comment against any Tapes Up-related social media post, or indeed start your own. Saturday night Speedway is catching on at the moment, Phil. It was Edinburgh's turn a couple of weeks ago at Armadale. This coming weekend, it's Glasgow's turn as we will build up to a strong, as Tigers look to build on top of a strong start to their league campaign with a visit from Scunthorpe Scorpions. Probably fair to say that the Scorpions haven't had their troubles to seek in recent weeks. Hammered at Edinburgh last weekend and turned over at home by Somerset on Friday night. But on paper, they still track what looks to be a very talented and points-potentialed side.
I wouldn't underestimate anyone. I mean, if they all turn up, Scunthorpe, they've got a very good racer side who can... I think they can push Glasgow next week.
And, of course, notably in the Scunthorpe line-up, two riders with Glasgow connections. Danny Ayres, of course, was a bit of a cult hero a couple of seasons back and a very popular visitor. Look forward to seeing Danny back around Ashfield. And a rider who had a very short connection to Glasgow, Joe Lawler, mm-hmm. who, of course, was sacked by the club mm-hmm. during the club's pre-season boot camp.
That pretty much underlines my theory, is that there's a couple of guys coming back with a point to prove and for different reasons. And Joe will want to come back and stick the boot in. And Danny will want to come back and celebrate in front of the fans again. But again, don't sort of underestimate them.
We heard Craig Cook talk earlier on in an interview talking about Sheffield, but mm-hmm. he talked about, you know, we need to avoid being complacent. So, mm-hmm. you know, Tigers have still got to earn the points on track. They'll have to do that against Sheffield. We'll talk about that meeting in next week's show. But they're going to have to earn the points against Gunthorpe on Saturday.
I don't think there's one side in the Championship that can't turn up and get a result somewhere else.
As we've discussed then, the Scorpions do have racers in their team and will enjoy the pacey Ashfield circuit with some added interest given the inclusion of the eccentric Danny Ayres and recent signing Joe Lawler, with Glasgow dropped, who Glasgow dropped, of course, from their side before a wheel was turned this season. Should be a tasty affair. Tapes up on Saturday at 7 p.m. Phil, the Championship action's now beginning to hot up. We're fast approaching June, of course, so now a few months into the season. And as we like to do on Tapes Up, I'm just going to pull out a couple of more notable results this week. Redcar taking an aggregate win over Somerset in the Knockout Cup first round. The Bears now await the winners of the Glasgow-Sheffield tie, which will be settled a week tomorrow, and we'll preview that cup tie in next week's show. And then Somerset went to Scunthorpe, aforementioned Scunthorpe, on Friday night and picked up a league win of their own. It's an unpredictable Championship already this season.
Again, that's what makes Speedway what it is. The fact that we just turn up to meetings, you don't know what you're going to see and how people are going to perform. Again, if Glasgow come through Sheffield at home, Redcar very tricky in the cup. And I think it's interesting to see whether people do make changes now and how much flexibility they've got to do that.
Well, it may be early doors in the league Championship. However, the early pace setters, and we've been talking about them most weeks here on Tapes Up, are Leicester Lions, managed this season, of course, by former Glasgow boss Stuart Dixon. Who's he? As he answers, he actually does answer to that. Phil's laughing, but he knows that's the case. Was back at Armadale, of course, on Friday night, a track that he knows more than any other manager in the Championship. Picking up another away point with the Lions at Edinburgh. I spoke to him briefly yesterday to reflect on the meeting and the season so far.
When I look back, Derek, I think we threw away some silly points by mistakes, like tape touching and maybe riders falling in a scoring position. I fully expected to go there and get a point, hopefully that was the plan, but we, looking back on it, we should have got the win, I feel, but I was surprised Edinburgh didn't ride just as good as what I thought it would be around there, and a point I think is still something good to take up the road with us, but I think, as I say, just me incidents here and there, we could have got a wee bit more on the night, but the key is, we always say we race together as a team, we win together, we lose together, that's just the way it is.
Another away point in the bank, of course, and although it's still relatively early season, Stuart, week on week here in Tapes Up, we've been keeping an eye on Leicester because you've started the season so impressively. You breeze through the Championship Shield qualifiers and going great guns in the league already. It looks like your riders are really responding to you, Stuart.
Yeah, it's so far so good these days, Derek. Definitely our Championship Shield section. We won at Redcar in Sheffield, which I think was quite a surprise to win there, because Overton's notoriously difficult to go. We're starting very well at the moment. We've booked our place in the semi-finals of the Championship Shield, which is good. The league started pretty positive for us, and we just need to keep our points building going. Like yourself, I'm watching every other team, and that includes Glasgow, Edinburgh, Berwick, the Northern teams, and I can see the teams that are on for them and the teams that are not, but there's a long way to go, and you just sometimes you go to an away track just at the right time, and sometimes you don't. So we just hope our fortunes keep going the way they are now, and we've had a few injuries, and hopefully that's the last of them for us for this season, to get back to our normal 1-7 after tonight.
Some eye-catching results on the road, Stuart. You mentioned a win at Sheffield and at Eastbourne. Glasgow, of course, got a away draw in the Knockout Cup at Sheffield last Sunday and took a league win at Eastbourne on Saturday night. You mentioned, and I know it's in your nature anyway, to keep an eye on all your rivals. A particular eye on Glasgow?
Definitely. I think at the moment, Leicester and Glasgow, to me, look the two standout teams. I mean, which is quite ironic, but it could be written in the stars that it could be Leicester and Glasgow that are battling out for the silverware later on in the season. There's a long way to go, obviously, before then. But with the points restriction on team building purposes this year, I don't see any team who are struggling at the moment, unfortunately, being able to strengthen up as they've done in previous seasons. So I firmly believe that the teams that are doing well now, barring injuries and any real bad luck or misfortune, I think they'll be the ones challenging at the end of the season. The trophies are given out, and I include, as I say, both Leicester and Glasgow in that at the moment. They look to me to be the two form teams at the moment.
Stuart, thank you very much for your time on Tapes Up this week. A short, sharp interview, but what chance to get you in the Tapes Up studio for a more in-depth chat before too much longer?
I'm sure you'll be phoning me sometime before July 26th. I look forward to hearing.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Stuart Dixon there, Phil. And it's always good to talk to Stuart, of course. And we know from years of working with Stuart that he keeps a very keen eye on all of the riders' forums, all of the teams' forums. He looks at the fixture list inside out. He knows everything about the championship level speedway. And interesting to hear him say there he's got one eye on Glasgow.
I'm sure he's got one eye in Glasgow, but there'd be nothing more sweeter for him than to try and get one over on Glasgow as well. He's another one who would come back or with a point to prove. And it's all very healthy. Competition's great.
The Leicester side, you know, and we've already ambled over some of the riders in that side. But you know, Scott Nicholls, Richie Worrell leading the charge for the Lions, and we know that Stuart brings out the best in Richie Worrell, and that's evident already in his scoring this year. Mm-hmm. Josh Bates, Ryan Douglas in there, Connor Mountain, Jack Thomas, who's sidelined at the moment. You know, there's plenty of points in that line side. And as Stuart's just mentioned in an interview, if they've now seen the back of all their injuries this season, they're going to really push on strongly this year.
I think the two guys who've really surprised me have been Connor Mountain and Ellis Perks. And if they continue in that vein of form, I think Ellis picked up 12 quite recently at home. And if they start doing that, Leicester are going to be really hard to stop.
And as Stuart touched on it at the end of the interview, you know, I think everyone associated with Glasgow Speedway already know that Leicester come calling towards the end of July. And we'll do our best here on Tapes Up to get Stuart into the studio in advance. And maybe even bring Cammy back in as well.
Yes, and a few boxing gloves and a bell.
They love it, really. They love it. OK then, Phil, a quick refresher, if we may, on the week ahead, complete with our own score predictions. So I'm going to put you on this under the spotlight, Phil.
Thank you.
So the fixtures this week concerning the Scottish sides, not too many of them, kicks off this Wednesday night, 7:30 Tapes Up, Birmingham versus Edinburgh in the Championship. Phil Lanning.
I think Edinburgh will win there by 2 points.
Well, I have written down Birmingham 47, Edinburgh 43. I think the Adam Ellis factor might just sway it, but I think it'll be a tight affair. I can easily see the Monarchs picking up an away point. Mm-hmm. On Friday night then, the big one this coming week, Edinburgh Glasgow Tapes Up at Armadale Stadium, 7:30 p.m. The final and concluding and decisive Championship Shield qualifier.
I believe it be Edinburgh 47, Glasgow 43.
Oh, well, I'm going to... My head and my heart are having a little bit of an argument, but I'm going to go for a draw. I think Glasgow might just sneak that draw. You can't go to an away match and play for a draw, to use the football parlance, but I think Glasgow might not be far away on Friday.
It would be fabulous if it comes to a last seat decider, which both of our predictions are sort of leaning towards. It would be really, really interesting.
And then finally, this coming weekend, Saturday night Speedway, as I mentioned, at Ashfield Stadium, 7 p.m. Tapes Up, Glasgow versus Scunthorpe.
I can only see a comfortable home win. I think about sort of 10-12 points Glasgow win by.
I agree, Phil. I've got 53 to Glasgow, 37 to Scunthorpe. Dear listener, how do you see things going this week? Let's get more interactive this season. Please do get involved with the show. We have Facebook and Twitter. Feel free to post your thoughts and opinions against any of the club posts which promote Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, and start your own. Also, of course, remember to listen out for the podcast of this week's show and all previous Tapes Up shows, accessible via the Rock Sport website, else via your favourite podcast app, inclusive of iTunes and Spotify. Well, Phil, the chequered flag has been waved at us. We've chatted Speedway, covered off all the action over the past week and looked ahead too. Hope you've enjoyed being here in the Tapes Up studio.
I have. It's been terrific, and I hope you'll be invited back very soon.
That's a loaded question, but I'll give you a load. I would be delighted to have you back, Phil. Before it's a long season ahead, and there'll be many laps and twists and turns. I'm sure we can pour over one other Monday night. Thank you very much for your input, Phil. Keep up the great work with Speedway GB. Our thanks to Graham Munsey and Gary Tate for supplying interviews, and to all the interviewees featured tonight. As ever, please keep across the social media output from each of the Scottish sides, and visit the official club websites for the forthcoming fixture picture. And of course, if you haven't been before, look at the websites to find out how to get there. Until next time, enjoy your week, enjoy your Speedway. Good night.
love music, live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.